This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Gutch Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutchchurch.com.
Man, isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord for real? I'll just tell you, just for me, and giving my life to this, and what's cool is that I was talking to a couple before church, just hanging out here a little bit, but it's just so cool that I work here, but I also get to serve here. And there's the interesting thing in my heart, there's no line between that. And I really truly get to love what I do. It's amazing. But I'll tell you, it's funny because in throughout the different stages of life, you know, we're kids and then we're young adults, and then we're adults, and then we're middle-aged, and then we get to senior citizenship, and we go through different stages and seasons in life. And there's an interesting thing about our lives is that, man, the world offers so much for us and so much to us. And, you know, you have to understand that the world is broken and the world is fallen. But you know what? God created it for us. He created it for our pleasure. And everything in it, in the world, everything on the earth, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And so it's interesting because man, God's given it. But I got to ask you a question. Like, where do you derive your strength? Where does your strength come from? You know, what gives you strength in life? Like, what are you looking for? Man, if I just had this, I'd be stronger. I'd be stronger. If I had more money, I'd be stronger financially. If I had more friends, I'd be stronger socially. I just feel so lonely, you know, that I just feel so weak in that area. Now, where do you get your strength? Where does your strength come from? Where do you derive your strength? Where do you find your strength? Because the thing about it is that, man, the enemy wants to deceive us or get us to think in directions that aren't healthy for us. Man, it looks like it could be strong. You know, it's interesting because, man, everything that we've heard for the last 10 or 12 years about steroids and sports and growth hormones and all kinds of other things is they give athletes a sense of an advantage on the court or an advantage on the field or the diamond. But you know what? They're not really checking on, man, what it's doing to vital organs in their body. And the same thing happens, I believe, when we're looking for anywhere other than man, God's intended places where we derive our strength. Anything other than that, Jesus said, is a thief and a robber. And if we're looking anywhere else, man, we may not see what it's doing to our organs. You know, and the series that we're in that I'm concluding today leading up to next week is, man, we're on a march, and we're marching towards Easter because we're marching towards the resurrection. And the resurrection's everything that we have. That's what you have to understand. To know him, now listen, and the power of his resurrection, the power of his new life, the power of his victory over death and victory over the grave. Man, the opportunity that we have now to be right with God, that God's not just around us and God just doesn't come upon us, but let me just tell you, God's presence is here right now. And the Bible says that in his presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. So now you think about it. Now listen, his presence is here, and in his presence is fullness of joy, more than any bit of joy that we would ever need in our life. And then that joy becomes our strength. See, it's interesting because when we get our eyes off of that, man, it's always just a little bit out of our reach. I thank God for his presence here. I thank God for his presence in this place. I thank God that I don't have to look for money or people or groups or clubs or environments or places to derive my strength. And my strength comes from him. In Romans, the 8th chapter and the 11th verse, if you brought your Bibles, it says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. This is a powerful statement, okay? If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. He'll give life. Now listen, and that life is the God kind of life. That life, I've been reading Joel the second chapter, and if you have an opportunity to read Joel the second chapter in the next week, it's going to be hard for me not to preach it at Easter now. It's gonna be hard because I'll just tell you it's about restoration, and that word restore in the Hebrew is such a powerful word. But you know what God wants to do for you right now? God wants, because of his presence in this place, God wants to restore you. God wants to build you, form you, fashion you, because you're created in him for great things. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let's go first person with that, okay? And let's just say this. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Say it. No, say it again. See, this is kind of a scrimmage right now. Right now, man, let me explain what just happened. Man, heaven, the earth, and hell just shook. That's what God's word does. That's his the power that God has placed on his word. It shook everything in the heavenlies, everything in hell, everything. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's not just something that I say when I feel like it. That's not just something that I say when things look like things are going great. How's it going? Man, if things are going great, I'm strong in the Lord. No, I'm telling you, when all hell's breaking loose and all you can see is defeat, and any direction you go, you feel like every door's closed, all you have to do is speak these simple little words, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And guess what? Any door God opens, no man can close. Now doors are open to you in front of, before your life. See, the power of this statement, it's just this. Listen, our words, the idea of this isn't just positive thinking and positive speaking. This is God's word. This is the logos of God. Now listen, that goes through what God has recreated on the inside of us that's born again, through our vocal cords and out of our mouth. And see, now that word, it becomes more powerful, a more powerful weapon than anything on the planet. And you know what it does? Changes everything. That simple statement, it's so easy to say. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he lives in me now. He lives in me, that spirit. God lives in me now. So when I speak, man, to human beings, it just sounds like me. But let me tell you, every angelic host, every demon in hell, every stronghold that would try to limit us, it sounds like God. Just like that written word, it's the same written word that God spoke, that when we say it now, God spoke it, it was written, and we speak it. And you know what happens? Man, the dynamics of it is, man, that power gathers so much momentum. See, let me explain this to you. The victory has been won. We're in a march series right now, and we're not marching to victory. We're marching in victory. It doesn't matter what you think of me. It doesn't matter what you think about where I've been and what I've experienced. I'm telling you what, I have the victory. And see, but listen, that victory is, it's initiated in my life with the word. The word of God is near me. It goes through my eyes into my heart, from my heart to my lips and out of my mouth. And see, that's how that thing gains momentum and power in our lives. You want momentum in your life? Man, you speak God's promise. And you know what? It's as simple as this. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. Everything I put my hand to prospers. No weapon formed against me ever will. Man, the power of death in the grave is gone. The power now is in life and heaven, and it's in me. God, I thank you now that you've given me the word of faith to activate your grace in my life. On earth as it is in heaven. You speak to this mountain, be rude, and be cast into the sea, and don't receive any doubt in your heart, you'll have whatever you say. See, this kind of thing right here, let me explain something to you. There are different realms. There's a mental realm, there's a physical realm, and there's a spiritual realm. And if you're always in that mental realm, your emotions, you get emotions, your reactions, you overreact. I'm just telling you, your reaction needs to be to God's word and not your situation or circumstance, and you should write that down. My reaction has to be God's promise. That's what I'm reacting to. That's all I'm going to respond to. That's what my voice is going to be. That's where my heart is going to be. Man, that's what it is. Otherwise, you live by what you see. And everything that we can see, everything that's visible is temporary. It's going to change. It's like, oh my gosh, when is this stuff going to work out? Do you understand? How many of you guys have ever had that thought? When is this going to work out? Let me see your hands. Okay, everyone should have raised your hand there. I'm going to ask you again, okay? It's not going to be a trick question. How many of you guys have ever had this thought? When is this going to work out? It's already worked out. All you got to do is speak it. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You love God, listen, by the fruit that's in your life. Man, we look at this and go, well, wait a second, don't judge me. No, hold it. You judge the fruit of a person. Man, if the fruit's good, the tree's good. If the fruit's bad, the tree's bad. Man, how many guys would ever go to an orchard and, man, you keep pulling fruit off a tree and it's every time you taste it, it's bitter, it's bad. You're not going to go back to that tree anymore. Why? That tree's bad. See, you got to change the fruit of your life. How do you do that? You change the word that's coming into your life through your eyes, through your ears, into your heart, and out of your mouth. And it changes everything. And let me tell you, what you have to have is discipline in this. That's what makes you a disciple. Go into all the world and make disciples. Man, there has to be a mindset shift in all of us. I'm telling you why. Your senses are strong. Your faith has to be stronger. Your senses are strong. Because we went out to eat this week with some pastors. And we went to this hole-in-the-wall Italian restaurant in Carmel. And it's funny because it was like the Italian woman spoke so fast and it was kind of English. You know, it's like she just jumped off the boat, you know, and came and served our meal. And she was telling us about these meatballs and this recipe. And it was her uncle something. I couldn't even tell you his name. But she said it 50 times. She gave so much credit to this uncle's recipe for these meatballs. And they said, yeah, bring us some meatballs. And oh my gosh, they came in this big bowl. I just wanted to take the bowl like this and dump it on me. It was just amazing. No, all the meatballs were gone, and it had a ladle in there to get the meatballs. And they had some bread because it was Italian, and I think they eat bread and a lot of bread. And any Italians in here, bread's a big deal to you, and sauce is a big deal to you, and there's sauce in this pan. And so I brought it. People are taking bread, and they're buttering it, and it's appetizer. And so I took this bread, and I took that ladle. And I put it in that sauce, and I dumped it on that bread like I'm back in Warrington. And I'm cutting up, and Sandy's like, look at me. And I'm looking. Let me tell you, my senses are strong enough right now. I've had a couple of those meatballs. There isn't a look in the world coming from that woman that's going to stop me from eating this sauce. I am going to muscle through. I am going to soldier through this. And then finally, and then I feel her foot under the table, and I'm thinking, I don't care if she kicks my leg off. I am eating this sauce, and I take it, and you know what I thought? I didn't put my pinky out or anything, but I'm cutting the bread up instead of just doing what I wanted to do and just jamming that stuff through. And afterwards, she made it well known, okay? And afterwards, she's like, Bill, I can't believe you poured sauce on that bread. I said, evidently you didn't eat any of that sauce, if you can't believe it, because if you'd eaten some, I'm in big trouble already again. It's 9 o'clock. But listen, we're eating that, and those pastors were there, and they're going, what is this in this sauce? No, I am just housing it. I am not thinking what's in it, all right? How many of you guys think, oh, that's good. I wonder what's in this. Okay, you're not where I'm from, all right? I'm just thinking, give me more, okay? It tastes like another. But So they're saying, what is that? What is that? Is it a, it, what, what's the, what did they ask for? What is it oregano? Is it cinnamon? Is it, and they said something else that I'd never even heard of before. I got to get out more. But they're asking what's in this. They're like, and you know, all I can think is, well, give me another one of those Hummers and I'll tell you what's in it. And they asked, they said, is there some cinnamon in that? She goes, yes. Very few people get that right. And I'm thinking, who, what do you, but listen, that, I'm telling you, that's how strong our senses are. Okay, just not mine, because I barely even chewed it. It just was, man, they were good. But the point is, our senses are strong, but we can't let our senses dominate our lives. How we feel, man, how things appear. Man, that's why the Bible says this. It brings it into context when it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you say, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might, you're just saying, okay, I'm just tasting this. Oh my gosh, what's in this? Oh my gosh, new life is in this. Hope is in this. There's joy in this statement that I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. When I truly believe that if my strength comes from above and God has won the battle, the war has been won, I'm with the strong one. That means I'm with the winner. I identify myself now with who God is. And see, that's where we have to be. And that's what this has to be about. In verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We've talked about that for the last few weeks. Man, why? Because I got to be able to stand. Man, is the devil going to come after you? Yes. Man, he doesn't want you taking the track that you're taking. He wants you to flip, because he knows how easy, he knows how to get to those buttons in your flesh to get you off track. How many of you guys have ever been knocked off track and you're thinking, man, I got to get back on track with the Lord? Anybody in here? Man, it's easy. And you know what? It's daily. Paul said this, examine yourself daily that you're in faith, that you're trusting God. Why? His grace is sufficient and nothing else is. See, the overwhelming, overpowering grace that God has put on our lives as believers, listen, gives us dominion. You don't, listen, the bottom line with this is, you have dominion now. You just have to walk in it. And you know what? That's why the Bible says to have dominion and occupy till he comes. Just occupy. Man, what? Stand. You have to stand against the wiles of the devil, the lies, the deception. Man, it's not good. When is this stuff going to work out? Let me just tell you, you don't let that come out of your mouth. And you know what you have to do? You have to bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. The same spirit. Do you think Jesus was in that tomb going, man, when's this going to work out? No, you know what? He knew, he fully well knew ahead of times that on the third day he'd walk out of that tomb. He had a plan. Well, guess what? If God gave Jesus a plan and Jesus was on this earth as us, and we're on this earth as him now, we have a plan. And you know what our plan is? To continually walk out of that tomb, to continue to know him and the power of his resurrection. Everybody say, I know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Say it again. Man, and the power, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Don't budge. Don't flinch. Don't duck. Man, just stand. God's grace empowers us to live the life God provides in his word. That's what his grace does for our lives. Man, his grace is sufficient. Everybody say, God, thank you that your grace is sufficient. Whatever you're in right now, whatever you're dealing with right now, let me just tell you, the bottom line is to know him and the power of his resurrection. That's what Easter's all about next week. Man, that's what's going to happen. People are going to come in here. Man, people aren't coming in here for the physical sacraments. They're coming to a church like Guts because it's like, okay, I'll go. I'm going to just check it out. I think I used to watch that church on TV. Man, you know what? Man, you're going to invite people to church this week, and they are immediately going to go to the website. I want to check that out. That's not going to be church as usual. It's probably going to be different. I'll tell you, it's, you guys all know that we're going to provide an incredible experience for people. Hopefully you guys that are our guests today are, and this experience, you're thinking, you know what, this is a good experience for me. But you know what, I just don't want people to have an experience at church. I want you to know God. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know the power of his resurrection. Otherwise, you can't stand. It doesn't matter to us. If all hell breaks loose, doesn't matter. You know why? We've got our eye on the prize. Our strength is in you, God. My strength isn't in my money. My strength isn't in my relationships. My strength isn't in the group that I'm in. My strength isn't in my inheritance on this earth. My strength isn't in my job. My strength isn't in the economy. My strength isn't in whoever we're going to elect. My strength is in you, God. Nothing that I see gives me strength. Only you, God. You are the God of your word. Your word is your promise to my life. See, so now everything works back to who Jesus is in our lives. Jesus said this, I didn't come to give you, to judge you or condemn you. I came to give you life. You're like, oh my gosh, good. A parole, that's a pardon. But then he said this, and life more abundant. Like, oh my gosh. You know what's interesting? You'll see cases of people and, you know, you'll follow news feeds or something on your phone. And just recently, there was a man who was wrongly convicted and was in prison for 35 years. And the state gave him millions of dollars for the time that he spent incarcerated. And he was innocent of the crime, but he was convicted. And they realized it, and they tried to make it right. Now hold it. Now you think spiritually, okay? You're guilty. You were indicted, convicted, sentenced, and then Jesus took your place. And you were set free. But not just set free to, okay, go live your life. You were set free to live your life, but in addition to that, with abundance. And in the Greek, that's actually superabundance. See, it's interesting. If we really caught the heart of God on this best gift offering, it wouldn't just be a one-time thing. It wouldn't be a here's what I can afford. It would just be just the pattern of our lives. It's just in response to the gift that was given us. Man, that's why everything in our life now is predicated upon our trust, our faith. Do you trust God? I'm going to close the service with this one scripture here. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, now listen, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He took my place. Faith moves us to a place of victory. And are you trusting God? The place God's grace gives us. Man, that's where I want to be. That's how I want to think. That's where I want to live. It's how I want to live. The land of more than enough. Are you living in a place of grace? You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. We're justified by trust now. We trust God. We live in grace. His grace and his favor, his supernatural ability that operates in our lives, the power of his resurrection, that's all that grace is. You know what? It just causes you to rise from the ashes, rise from the dead. Man, it looks like your marriage is dead. Man, the power of that resurrection will cause your marriage to rise. and live forever. Man, your finances look like they're dead. Man, we don't live by sight. We live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You know what God says about your finances? Everything you put your hand to will prosper. Man, let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. So you know what you've got to do? It's easy for us to do that. It's elementary math. Man, you just magnify that. You just make God bigger in your life, and guess what happens? His prosperity flows in your life. You know what a synonym of prosperity is? Peace. Man, you find a place of unrest. You find a place that lacks peace in your life. And you know what you do? I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Greater is he who's in me. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it's in me now. It's time for you to rise. It's time for you to be who God's called you to be. Don't worry saying, don't murmur and complain. Man, how about this? How about you just commit to God and be disciplined, the disciple, and say, the last time I complained is the last time I'm going to complain. Man, no more words of death. I don't like my boss. My boss doesn't like me. Find that in the Word. No, you speak life over it. You believe in your heart. You confess with your mouth. You know what will happen? God will restore you. That word restore, listen, causes you to be seated in heavenly places in Christ, far above principalities and powers and the, man, far above it. Man, now your enemy becomes your footstool, becomes the platform in which you, man, used to be in my life, man, drugs and anger and wrath and, man, jealousy and pride, all that stuff now becomes a platform of which I can preach now. And you know what God's requiring of me? It's real easy. Clean hands and a pure heart. I promise you, when God chose me, he wasn't looking for the most eloquent. He wasn't looking for the best dressed. Man, he picked a guy who wants to dip his bread in the meatball sauce at dinner. That's who he picked. And all he's requiring now is clean hands and a pure heart. Let me tell you, that best gift offering, man, it washes. It purifies. That's what that does. If it was $5, the amount isn't what matters. It's all the attitude that you give it. It's how you give it. That you give it, and no one's going to know to thank you. But I'll tell you, I see those mamas that bring 4 or 5 kids, toddlers and little kids to Friday groceries. And those little kids know now, they run over and they check the toys because they each get to take a toy every Friday. And they're checking those toys. You know, and they do the same thing that I would probably do. They got 2 and they're there for a long time hoping somebody with a red shirt will walk up and say, hey, which one are you going to take? Oh, I can't decide. Oh, shoot, take both of them. This isn't the place that they're being shushed or told not to run at church. We just want them to love it here. I want poor people to love it here. I want poor people to appreciate the generosity of this church, because I believe it touches God's heart. And if there's sin in your life, if you have unforgiveness or aught, and you know those feelings that we get that we think maybe God passed us by, maybe he overlooked us. He didn't. And we'll never, ever, Your pride will just get in the way. Man, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. God, you're my strength. My strength comes from you. God, I live in the power of the resurrection of your son, Jesus. Everything's brand new in my life now. Man, there's such a sweet presence of God in here right now. Man, if there's sin in your life or unforgiveness or bitterness, man, cast your care upon the Lord today. Lay aside the weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. Let's run this race with endurance. However much longer your race is, man, let's finish strong from here on out. Doesn't matter what's happened up to now. It does not matter. All that matters is now and moving forward. Pray with me, will you? Father God, I give you my life. I thank you for Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith and in whom I trust. I trust you, God. I am strong. God, I thank you because of you. I'm strong in you, God, and the power of your might. God, I thank you. There's salvation on my lips. There's faith in my heart. There's healing in my hands. There's deliverance in my words. God, I thank you now that I'm saved. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm set free. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me, because Jesus is Lord of my life. I'm going to heaven. Ha ha ha! And I'll never smell the scent of hell. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand, will you?
Hey, thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on our service times, please visit gutschurch.com.